Welcome to the May 2008 edition of Judd's New England Journal, the rather curious monthly musings of Judson Hale, the editor-in-chief of Yankee Magazine, published since 1935 in Dublin, New Hampshire. New England's secret season. It's not ever mentioned in regional or resort promotional material. Never. However, all of us New Englanders are very familiar indeed with what's known among us as bug season. Bug season starts out with a sort of sub-season known as black fly season, and then continues on into what's ordinarily labeled as the summer season, which in turn can be broken down into haying season, corn on the cob season, and August. August is the month the young summer workers in the large resort towns discover it is either difficult or impossible to maintain a pleasant front to the tourists. Bug season, however, encompasses all of these New England mini-seasons simply because there are bugs swarming around during all of these months. Not that they bother most of us natives all that much. There are many ways to cope with them, the best being to ignore them. But I personally have briefly known several couples who have moved to New England, discovered to their total surprise the existence of bug season, and moved away because of it. To Hawaii, for instance, where apparently there are no bugs. For some, the black flies are the most difficult to tolerate, even though, thank goodness, they go to sleep after sunset. By the time the mosquitoes, who don't ever sleep, the no-see-ums, who also don't require sleep, and assorted deer flies, known as horse flies, maybe, are geared up to seasonal capacity, we're pretty much over our early spring notion that living in the country is perfect. Some years ago, the town of Harrisville, New Hampshire, dealt with its abundance of black flies by actually celebrating them. Each spring, there was a black flies ball, to which residents came dressed up in black fly costumes. There were black fly t-shirts for sale in town, and the Harrisville softball team was called, you guessed it, the Black Flies. Guess they eventually got sick of doing all that, however, and went back to simply enduring their black flies like the rest of us do. Henry David Thoreau used to rub all over exposed areas of his body a concoction, quote, composed of sweet oil or spearmint and camphor, unquote. As many of us discover early in life, he eventually concluded that, quote, the remedy was worse than the disease, unquote. Other, quote, remedies, unquote, would include wrapping oneself up like a mummy so that not one square inch of skin is exposed, smearing on commercial fly dope, which renders one temporarily blind if it seeps into your eyes, and standing in either campfire or cigarette smoke or in a good ocean breeze. I find it helpful to remind myself that whenever I'm with bugs, I'm either picnicking, fishing, camping, working in the garden, or otherwise engaged in a pleasant, warm activity. In theory, then, I suppose one is programmed to associate pleasure with voracious black flies that swarm into one's nostrils and mouth. Ignoring our bugs requires an extreme form of mental concentration. Concentration on things like blossoming lilac bushes and fruit trees, the sound of birds in early morning, the greening of the countryside, the full brooks and rivers, if not too full, the blooming of the Indian turnip or Jack in the Pulpit, and those wonderfully long hours of daylight. Come to think of it, after a winter like the one we've just experienced, I truly am looking forward to bug season.